Thank you, Tammy. That was beautiful. Really. And I was sitting back there about to jump out of my seat because you basically just preached my sermon. And you'll see. So God's good, right? God's good, definitely. Children's Church, yeah. I want to thank you guys for the pastor appreciation card. And we do appreciate it. Next Sunday will be 1 year that we've been here. Time flies when you're having fun, huh? And so we're really grateful and love you guys. And I missed you when we went on our little vacation. Lynn and I were saying, man, I miss everybody. I can't wait to get back. And we had a great time in Canada visiting our granddaughter and son and daughter-in-law and their family. If you're on Facebook, you probably saw us busting up Facebook with pictures. But we had a really good time and really enjoyed it. It was awesome. So we're going to be in 2 Kings, verse 4, 1 through 7. I'm going to deliver the Word of God this morning. And then at the end, it's okay with you guys. We'd like to call Reagan and Tammy and Shannon down, and we're going to pray for them, have a time with the church. We'll get the deacons to come and lay hands on them, and we're going to pray for them at the end. And then I heard we're going to take apart the stage here and take some pictures. And then we're going to go eat and fellowship and rejoice in the day that we have. So we'll move through that. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the family. Thank you for our church family. Lord, I pray that you help me this morning, deliver this word and that you've given me, and just ask for your help. And we love you and bless this time we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And so let's read together. 2 Kings, I think Derry has it on the wall up here behind me. 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7. Let's read. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me. What do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except for a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in, shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her. She poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Amen? All right. Have you ever been in a situation where you found yourself hopeless or helpless? Maybe in a place where you feel you have no control how things are going to turn out. You see, this passage tells us of a woman in a very difficult situation. But God opened a way out for her, didn't he? See, God did a miracle through a prophet, Elijah. God had a plan. Even in her hopeless situation, God had a plan. God had a way for her to get out of her situations. And my friends, this morning, God's put on my heart to tell you that God has a way for you. He has a plan for you, and He is faithful. In this passage, we see a woman with two sons trying to cope with the financial problems left by her late husband's irresponsible decisions. This woman's husband must have borrowed a large amount of money for some reason. And now her husband has died, and she is unable to repay the debt. And now the creditor is coming. And he's threatening to take her two young boys as slaves to pay off this debt. That's how they did it back in the day. And she did not know what to do. Now, let me pause right here for a minute and meddle in your business. Is that okay? Men, and women too these days, but men, make sure you have enough life insurance. Do you love your family? You may say, I can't afford it. No, if you die prematurely, your family will not be able to afford to live. Women, also, some of you are maybe the breadwinner in the family. Even with the single mom, if you don't have the financial resources and a lot of money in the bank, make sure you have the right kind of life insurance to take care of your family. I don't sell insurance, so I'm not trying to. God put that on my heart. Maybe it's time for your little checkup. Make sure you don't leave your family. Right? Amen? Now, back to the story. The Bible tells us that her husband was a man of God. He reverenced God. He was actually a teacher in what they call the School of Prophets. And this is a little school that was set up in different places, training men, mainly young men, to be priests and prophets. They would set up little Bible study groups, little study groups, small study groups throughout the land, and they basically call them the School of the Prophets. Now, her situation seemed hopeless until she saw Elijah. And she cried out to Elijah. Not because she thought that Elijah maybe had some money that he could give her. Because, see, the prophets back in the day, most of them didn't have money. They lived day to day, hour by hour, meal by meal. But she knew. See, back in her day, the prophets of the day was a direct link to Almighty God. It was God's spokesman. So what she did is she ran to God the best way she knew how. She wanted God. She wanted an answer from God. So she cried out to Elijah. And Elijah looked at her and said, "How can I help you?" And she probably told him a story. And then he said, "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" You see, God had a plan, and he revealed it to Elijah. The first thing Elijah said is he pointed her to take a look at her own resources and what could she offer in this situation. Elijah didn't say, "Well, let me see how much money I got in the checking account and I'll just write you a check. Or we'll throw a duck dinner and raise some money for you. Or we'll go around the neighborhood and see if we can collect enough money." There's times for that. Thank God for that. There's times when we need to do that. We participated in the chicken dinner for the family at Philadelphia. It was great. There's times to raise money like that for sure. But God was teaching a spiritual principle here. And I think it's a principle that definitely applies to us in our lives today. "What do you have in your house?" Elijah said to her. God is going to do a miracle in this situation, but sometimes He wants us to do what we can. He wants us to participate in these miracles. You see, God can create a miracle. He can create something out of nothing. That's how He created the world. But often we see where God wants us to get involved and do what we can do. And when that happens, we see miracles. You see, sometimes it's more of like we do our little part and God does His big part. Amen? James 2:26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, So faith without works is also dead. Sometimes in these miracle-making situations that God is, we have to do our part. And sometimes it requires hard work and persistence and perseverance and patience. In John 2, remember in John 2 they had the wedding feast? Remember that in the book and the wine? They didn't have enough wine. So Jesus, you know, looks over and said, "Hey, see those six stone water pots?" Jesus said to the servants, "Fill those jars with water." Now you really think about that scripture. It's not like they could run over to the side of the building, grab the water hose, and run back over to the pots and have your buddy turn on the faucet. No, they had to go and pick up those water pots. When I studied this, and the water pots sometimes can hold anywhere from 3 gallons to 10 gallons, just regular water pots. And they were made of stone, so these things were heavy. And more than likely in the wedding, the area where the water supply was a little ways off. Maybe 50 yards, maybe 100 yards. The well or the cisterns or whatever, wherever they kept that water, it was probably a good little distance. So these cats had to pick up these six heavy stones. There was a lot of work involved. And take them and fill them up with water. And then they had to what? They had to bring them back. So there was a lot of work. It took some time. Well, the average wedding in those days, when it were from 5 to 7 days. So they had a lot of time and a lot of work went into this miracle. Sometimes we read through those things and we just think, oh, you know, Jesus went whoop, whoop, and they all filled up with water and there's wine. Patience. Hard work. John 11. In John 11, Jesus is about to call Lazarus up from the grave. And he asked the people, what did he say? He said, "Remove the stone from the tomb." And they didn't just say, go over there and just scoot it up, put a 2x4 in there, and scoot it up and run it over there and move it out of the way. The average stone in a day weighed anywhere between 1 and 2 tons. A ton is still 2,000 pounds, right, Frankie? 1 to 2 tons. And then the way they secured the tombs is that they had the tombs, and then the ground, they made the ground level where it kind of went like this, and then kind of went back up. So they would roll the stone up on the side, and they would roll the stone in into the front of the tomb, and then it would go, whoom! It would fall down on that little, what do you call it? Little ditch area. See, when Jesus walked up and they'd go, Lazarus called him from the tomb, they didn't have no tools. They wouldn't think about moving a stone. Jesus said, "Move that stone out of the way." They probably looked around. They didn't have a backhoe or crane. They probably had to scurry off and get some tools and some equipment to move that stone. And then they had to move it up that hill. You get the picture? I'm not going to do that again, I promise. There it is. Jeez, sorry. Where's the kids at? You know what this is? I don't know either, but here it goes again. Sorry. Glenn, help me, man. So they had to do some work. And they had to move the stone up out of the air. So Jesus, when he commanded them, there was some work that had to be done before Jesus performed that powerful miracle of raising Lazarus from the grave. And in Mark chapter 6, we all know the story, feeding the 5,000. And Jesus asks, "What do you have?" And what do they say? "I got 5 loaves of Wonder Bread and 2 mullets. 5 loaves of bread and 5 fishes. I said 2, didn't I? 5. I was looking at something else. You see, the groups, the Bible says they grouped them up in 50 to 100 people. If you do the math, that's about 130 different groups. So that's a lot of groups to feed a lot of people with 5 loaves of bread and 5 fish. So you think about it. That's like herding cats, probably, wouldn't it? It was real difficult, but we could barely sometimes feed, 10, 20, 30 people would gather up together. So that was a hard work and persistence and patience. Sit down, because there was definitely probably women there and children. So they said 5,000, so you could probably at least double that. So it was probably about 10,000 people, maybe more. It was a lot of work and persistence. See, sometimes God wants us to exercise our faith and participate in the miracle. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." It seems that this woman's last hope was Elijah, the prophet, the voice of El Shaddai, God Almighty. She believed in Jehovah Jireh, our provider, that he would make a way. Now the woman could have, she could have got a little sour and a little bitter and a little angry at Elijah. See, she came to him for help. And he wanted to ask, "What do you have?" See, she wouldn't have come to Elijah if she thought she had something. But she was really coming to hear from the Lord. She didn't get angry or bitter or sour or mad about it. She could have got like some folks get sometimes. They get a poor negative attitude about this kind of stuff. And she could have said, "Brother, I don't have anything. There's nothing at my house. I'm dead broke." That's the problem with all you preachers. Always trying to get something from people when they're down. Always trying to make money off people. But no, she didn't. She had a good, humble attitude about this. She was willing to do anything to drive the distance and go anywhere and give anything that she had, because she was desperate. She was in a state of need of a miracle. And then she thought about what Elijah said. She said this. She said, "You know what? I do have a little oil left that was used for cooking and lighting. I got a little oil left." Now, she may have expected Elijah to give her some money for that oil, but he didn't. He gave her some instructions. He said, "Go ask your neighbors for the empty jars." He said, "Don't ask for just a few." He said, "Get as many as you can. Borrow some. Maybe people will give you some." He said, "Then go in the house and shut the door behind you and your sons and fill those jars up. And when they get full, you set them aside." See, she didn't worry. She didn't worry. She didn't doubt. She didn't let fear creep in. She didn't call her cousin, Susie Lou, and ask her, "Was everything going to be all right? Should I listen to this man?" No. I'll tell you what she did. She didn't blink an eye. She stepped out in faith, went and got those jars, went straight into her house, and shut the door with her and her boys, and she began to fill up jars. She began to fill up jars and put those jars aside. She was obedient to the word of the Lord coming from this man of God. Isaiah 1:19 says, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Guys, this is faith in action. She believed the word of God. She was obedient to the word of God. And listen to this, young folks. It said her boys did not ridicule or make fun of this crazy old man named Elijah with this wild idea. Why did they not? More than likely, it's because they respected their mother. They respected their mother because she believed in the Word of God. See, God wants us to experience His miracles in our life. But He wants us to put our faith in Him. Put our faith in Him. We must exercise this faith, and God will perform the miracle. See, the miracle is easy for God. That's nothing. Amen? I just said, get as many jars as possible, and they would go and see the neighbors. And see, some of those neighbors may have just made fun of them, may have mocked them, ridiculed them in public. Some of the neighbors may have slammed the door. They probably had to go far distances to get those jars. And the dirt and dust. And faith, she got it done. This woman had faith that God had a plan. Tammy, just like your son. Matthew 17:20. Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, if you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. You see, in faith, she and her young boys collected the jars. In faith, she closed the door. In other words, she shut out all the noise. She got alone. And in faith, she began to pour the oil into the jars. Now notice this. We'll get ready to close. She had a little oil and a small jar. And God used it to solve her big problem. And the boy only had 5 loaves of bread and 5 loaves of fish. And God used it to feed a big crowd. So we don't always have to have a big checking account in the bank to do great things for God. The little we have, if we trust Him with it and offer it to Him, God will use it. God kept pouring and pouring and pouring the blessings upon this family. And the lady kept pouring the oil until it finally stopped. Then what happened? She went to Elijah and told Elijah what happened. And then what did Elijah tell her? Go and sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what's left. Wow, here we go again. She's got to do what? She's got to go back to work. She's got to work. She's got to go sell that oil. She's got to go house to house, door to door, business to business. It's like the Avon lady. Now she's in the oil business. Ding dong, oil lady calling. That was my best joke. Man, I'm struggling. But she had to go and she had to work and she had to sell that oil, guys. And God, what did He do? He blessed them beyond what they could even imagine. God blessed them. They have more than what they imagined. John 10:10 says, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. My prayer today is that we seek God for help. We pray and ask Him to intervene in our problems. I pray that we read His Word and we study it and we act in obedience. And we step out of faith and trust Him because He has a plan for us. You see, God is never caught without a clue on how to solve our problems. He always has a plan. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and call on according to His promise. Purpose. You may feel, listen to this, you may feel you're at the end of your road. To God, it is not the end of the road, but the beginning of a new way. If you're trying to make sense out of your life, or what's going on at work, or what's going on with your family, or if you're trying to get out of the mess that you may have found yourself in, or you may be asking, how is God going to help me with this medical issue? Please know this, my friend, that God has a plan. He has a way. Isaiah 59:1 It says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Friends, God loves you. God loves you. He has made a way for you. Trust in him, for he is trustworthy. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty, the great I Am. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time this morning. Lord, if there's one here today that has never made a decision to trust you in their heart, I pray that they do now. They simply just cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son that died on the cross for me. They can do that right where they're sitting right now, Lord. We'll pause for a few minutes as they may do that. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, come see me at the church. I'd be glad to talk to you. Amen.